Welcome, everybody, to the fourth episode of the 3&D Podcast. I'm Mark King.
Hi, I'm Joseph Walter.
We have got a great episode for today. We're going to be talking about lots of things, all NBA, lots of Grizzlies stuff. We've got up on the dock today, we've got a little bit of Kyrie talk because of the trade. We've got a lot of Grizzlies 2K18 roster talk, Memphis Hustle, they had a draft. What's going on with Jermichael Green? We just talked about the Grizzlies are going to have a press conference tomorrow, so a lot of stuff to get into, a lot of stuff to talk about. But let's first must talk about this weekend. Did you, my friend, this is a BNBA podcast, this is a Grizzlies podcast, it's not a fighting podcast, but I think that everybody in the world was probably watching this fight, so let's at least just mention it. Were you satisfied with the way the fight went? Did you think that was the fight, how the fight was going to go?
Absolutely.
No doubt in your mind.
No doubt in my mind. It was, I just didn't really think it was, it's the best boxer of, of our time versus, a great MMA fighter. Great MMA fighters are not boxers. We learned that. It was very apparent. And if they would have let it go on for 30 more seconds, he would have been laying on the ground. They'd have been counting to 10.
Yeah, I probably tend to agree with you. And we talked about this a little bit before we started recording. But, I think my whole thing is don't pretend like you're something that you're not. And Conor McGregor is not a boxer. Now, while it was great for television, it made for great hype videos with all the talk beforehand.
I enjoyed the fight.
I loved the fight. I thought it was great. But at the same time, it happened exactly how I expected it to happen. It happened exactly like Floyd Mayweather said it was going to happen. He laid back. He let him throw his punches, and then he literally just picked him apart from 5 through 10 rounds. Like it was
just beat the shit out of him.
He just picked him apart. So I was impressed. It was a really good fight. I don't think it will have another one. I think from everything I've heard, Conor will probably go back to UFC, which he should. I mean, there's no reason for him to go fight another boxer at all. Because he's not
allowed to punch people in the back of the head as he found out.
He learned that very quickly. That is not allowed in boxing. So enough MMA. I just wanted to get that out of there. Just wanted to get your thoughts before we move on to actual NBA talk. So let's talk about the biggest news of the last week probably, and that's his Kyrie Isaiah Thomas trade. And while it was supposed to be done last week, Kyrie for Isaiah Thomas, the Brooklyn Nets pick, and then Jay Crowder, Cleveland had the...
What about Zizic, man? Come on. Give the man his
Oh, that's right.
He's an
that's
NBA
right.
basketball
that's right.
player.
Which is not, he's not a throw-in either. That's a legitimate prospect. And so there's a lot already there. For Cleveland had the physical with Isaiah Thomas. He has a lingering hip issue that they didn't seem to be too keen on. And now they're reportedly going back and asking for even more assets from Isaiah Thomas to complete this trade, which from what I understand from some different reports is that was kind of the understanding all along, is if they got too far into Isaiah Thomas's physical, they could go back and kind of renegotiate this deal. What do you think about them going back and asking for more assets? Do you think they're already getting enough? I mean, what is your thought there, Eddie? Is it already getting enough as it is?
I think that they're getting, I don't know. It's if they end up with Isaiah Thomas on their team after this season, then yes, they're getting enough. If they don't, then they're not. This all depends on what, Isaiah Thomas does in his free agency year. If we've learned anything, it's probably that he's not going to stay there, that he's going to go to an organization, a real organization in the NBA. And most of these players are learning now that, maybe it's not just all about the money, and maybe it's not just all about where you're playing being in a huge market, but maybe a lot of it has to do with, playing for an owner that knows what they're doing, and playing for a general manager that knows what they're doing, and playing for the right type of culture. So I don't think that Isaiah Thomas will be on the Cleveland Cavaliers after this season, so therefore I do not think they're getting enough for him.
So you think it all hinges on what Isaiah Thomas does next year, not even this year.
Right.
I think that they're a little bit crazy, honestly, to go back and say, hey, by the way, you didn't give us enough for Kyrie. I mean, I think they're already getting too much. I mean, I see the Isaiah Thomas and Jay Crowder. I get that. And then we're going to call the prospect a throw-in here, because that's kind of what he – to them in their minds – into Celtics' minds are probably that's what he is.
Yeah.
But the Nets first rounder, I mean, that's a lot. That could have been it being a really good pick. I mean, at least top, probably definitely top five.
Absolutely.
If not a top three pick. So that's a bit much for them. So that's very, very concerning.
Or,
I just thought it was odd for them to go back and go, you know what? We're not getting enough. I need more.
So, I mean, so this deal is going to get done. You know it's going
to
get
done. Well, it has to now, because what do the Celtics do?
Exactly.
Right? Like,
Sorry? Yeah. Well, and what about Kyrie when he has to go in that locker room? Like, hey, no, I don't want to play with any of you guys, but what's up?
Yeah. I know that I said that I don't want to be here, but I am.
Yeah.
So
what I have to say is, you know, I kind of think Cleveland's playing a smart move here. And they're saying that this deal is going to get done no matter what. So why don't we go ahead and ask?
Go ahead and go for the jugular.
Go ahead and ask for another piece. And what's the worst, Danny Ainge says no. And you're like, okay, trade's still going through.
Right. You got a good point. I mean, I don't know. It's hard to say who really has a leverage in this situation. I think because both of them, I think that Cleveland has more leverage than Boston. But it's really tough to tell because you just really don't know because – like you said, both players are in a really bad spot now because they've already said they either wanted out or they've already technically been traded, and we've got like another way. I mean, that just it's a very, very weird situation for everybody involved.
Yeah, it is.
So we can move on. I think it will get done. Also, just as a side point, I put on our little rundown. You can actually still get an Isaiah Thomas Cleveland jersey on the NBA store right now.
Money.
I mean, like, that's impressive. The trade technically hasn't already gone through, and you can already get a Isaiah Thomas Cleveland jersey.
Technically, you can go on NBA.com, and you can get whatever jersey you want on the back, except there are a list of about 500 names that you are not allowed to put on the back of that jersey.
There are. We know we need to do a show with the list of names you can't get on a jersey.
It's pretty funny.
It is very funny. I've tried a few, and there's obviously some common ones you can't get. But there's some ones that you can't that you're like, that's weird.
Yeah.
But anyway, let's move on. Nerlens Noel accepted his qualifying offer. I think it was for like $4.1 million. I think that's right.
Something like that.
Come out that he turned down a $70 million offer from the Mavs, which is, if you want to call betting on yourself, that right there is the definition.
That's betting on yourself.
Of betting on yourself.
Yeah, especially since he was in the doghouse for a lot of last year anyway. So, and he's been in the doghouse in Philadelphia for his first 3 years in the league, and then he was in the doghouse for quite a bit of last year with Dallas.
Yeah, it's really surprising that he would just accept the qualifying offer with that on the table. That was very odd once that came out. I thought that, there's one thing betting on yourself, but then there's another thing just, you know, taking the money that you're probably valued at properly.
Yeah.
And I think that's probably pretty valuable. I mean, that's probably right on money, right on point for him for what the market is out there for centers and power forwards this year. So that was very... that was very odd to me. So we'll see how that goes. We'll see how Nerlens Noel plays this year. But I don't think it's probably a smart move. I think he'll look back on this next year, and it probably won't be a smart move.
No, I don't think so. Unless, you know, they're definitely lacking at the center position. If they're going to put him in the doghouse, they're going to put him in the doghouse, and he's not going to get that max contract is what he came back with from Dallas. So what is it? You know, I don't know. I think it's stupid. I think he's had three agents this summer.
Well, so, they're all terrible.
Yeah.
So far.
Well, I guess with three people telling you all probably three different things, it seems like you just need to hire a real agent. Yeah.
Okay, so let's move on. So just a little note you put in here, which is pretty cool. Houston Rockets owner Leslie Alexander, $4 million to Hurricane Harvey disaster relief. That's pretty cool. I know J.J. Watt did like $100,000 today.
I think the Texans gave $1 million today.
So there's a lot of really, really cool stuff going on. So I encourage everybody to go do what you can. If it's a dollar, it's a dollar. $5, $5. There's a lot of... I fortunately have a lot of crew members in Houston and know a lot of people down there. So there's a lot of people that are that don't have a home and won't have a home for quite some time. So if you could do something, do something. So let's move on to Grizzlies talk. First thing up on the Grizzlies schedule.
One quick thing. You can go to texasmonthly.com and it will take you to all the ways that you can help people during Hurricane Harvey. So, and a lot of different foundations that are, you know, set up and where the majority of your dollar is going to actual people to help Hurricane Harvey.
So TexasMonthly.com, go there, do what you can. Like I said, if it's dollar, it's dollar, it's $5, $5. We all have homes right now. There are a lot of people that do not, and it's, I think it's only going to get worse the next couple of days. So, so yeah, do what you can. Anyway, let's move on. Grizzlies, let's do a little bit of Grizzlies talk. Surprisingly, there's more Grizzlies discussion than I had originally thought we would have at this point in the offseason. But there is something to talk about. First of all, Grizzlies all-time 2K18 roster came out. Let's go through this a little bit and see what we think and see if they're right on or a little bit off. So let's go through the starters real quick. Here are the starters. Mike Conley, Tony Allen, Sharif Abdur, Paul Gasol, and Marc Gasol. Yes or no? I personally would have put Shane Battier in the three spot there as a starter.
I personally would have put Mike Miller in the three spot as a starter.
That's a good one as well. I didn't even come to my mind just then, but yeah.
So and funny enough, Mike Conley was actually at the 2K Studios today, and he had an Instagram that was himself at the 2K Studio, and then at the end it said, "Yeah, y'all need to check out my rating, though." And then with the eyeball emoji.
Right.
Because, I mean, 87.
His rating is 87, which is And Pau Gasol is a 92. Is this Pau Gasol? What version of Pau Gasol is that, I wonder? It can't be this, like right now, because that's not possible.
No, it's probably best season with Grizzlies.
So these are the best seasons ever. And you give Mike Conley an 87, which I think is... You know, when we say he's the most underrated point guard ever, it still goes to show he probably is.
And I am a big fan. I love that they have Mark rated higher than Powell.
They have Mark at a 93, which is impressive. To have him that high, that was probably his defensive player of the year campaign.
Yeah, it had to have been. And what about Tony Allen is a 85?
You know, that's surprising, honestly. Like, I think it's probably right on.
I mean, even in this past year's 2K, I think he's a 78 or 79.
Yeah,
so,
it's
you know,
not
they
very
really
high.
They value defense quite a bit in the game.
So the rest of the roster is, just for those who don't know, Zach Randolph at 88, Shane Battier 85, Mike Bibby in 85, Jason Williams 84, Mike Miller 83, Rudy Gay 83, Byron Scott 80, Greg Anthony 80, Bonzi Wells 80, and James Posey is an 80. So...
Rudy Gay off the team.
You got to take Rudy Gay off. You know, I understand the Rudy Gay hate. I get it. I think Rudy Gay was always a good player, but he just never could fit where he wanted to fit. There were just too many people that needed the ball other than him. And so he probably was at the wrong time.
He's statistically made every single team he's ever played for worse. It's okay. You can say it.
That's true.
Jeff Green have statistically made every
Rudy
single
Gay,
team.
Jeff Green is Rudy Gay light.
Oof.
That's tough. All right. So I think all in all, the 2K18 roster, it's pretty agreeable. I don't see anybody out here that really stands out like they shouldn't be there or someone they're missing. Do you?
No, I think they pretty much got everybody on here. I mean, you know, I'm kind of surprised that Keon Dooling isn't on here, to be honest with you. But, you know, whatever.
You mean there's no Hamed Adati?
There's no Hamed Adati, no Keon Dooling. I mean, what about Gilbert Arenas, man? Like,
that's true. One of the great Grizzlies.
Yeah, Allen Iverson, another great Grizzly.
Another great Grizzly.
Yeah.
All right, let's move on before we get too far off the rails. The Memphis Hustle had their draft, and they got 11 players in the G League expansion draft. Some of the most notable players are Jimmer Fredette. You got the Jimmer.
Which
I'm super excited about. I cannot wait.
I cannot wait to
go to South Haven and go see Jimmer Fredette. I would love to have a
And I want my jersey to say Jimmer.
Not Fredette.
Yeah, I want it to say Jimmer.
For sure. I want mine to say the Jimmer. Just the Jimmer. I'm all about it. Some other notables, DJ Steffens had previously been on the roster with the Grizzlies. And then Adonis Thomas played here as a Memphis Tiger. Thoughts on the Grizzlies, the Hustle, and their G League draft? Anybody that stands out you think might have a chance to make this roster or anybody else's roster in the NBA? Besides the Jimmer, because we know that's happening. He's going to get caught up. He's going to get caught up somewhere.
He was the first pick in the expansion draft. I think it was 3 years ago. So funny now that he 10th round, not 11th round, excuse me. So he was, in the second to last round. I'm excited that, I'm going to get to go down to South Haven and see DJ Stephens, because he's definitely an exciting basketball player and can leap. It would be awesome if Adonis Thomas ever turned out to be a good basketball player. He's finally healthy, I hear, so that's, good for him.
Yeah.
But I don't, there's nobody on this team that I think will be on the Grizzlies at the end of the year.
The only person I would probably put stock into is DJ Stephens, only because he's shown he has the ability to play in the league, at least in some capacity. He's so athletic. And then, he's been here before. He knows what it takes. A lot of these guys have been here, but he actually, he played well in his time here. Yeah. He just got caught up in some different
numbers. Went through training camp last season.
Right. He got caught up in more of a numbers game, I think, than anything else. But
he had a little issue as well.
That's right.
Mm-hmm, so.
He probably has the most tools on the team as far as basketball skills that are translatable to the NBA right now. Like I said, Adonis Thomas, for the longest time, Adonis Thomas playing at Memphis. I did a lot of high school broadcasts and watched a lot of Adonis. Like, he's a really gifted athletic player, and he has the tools to play as a small forward in the NBA. Unfortunately, Josh Pastner ruined his career, and he played him as a four most of the time as a Memphis Tiger, which is crazy to me, because he wasn't a four. He was never going to be a four at the next level. He wasn't a four in college. Yes, he's 6'7", but he is a three in the NBA and will always be a three. So, I know he has tools to be a legitimate player now. If he's a legitimate player at the NBA level, that's probably a different story, but I know he has the tools to be a legitimate player. And I think if probably anybody on this roster just going through it, I would put my money on Adonis Thomas or DJ Stephens making it to any league, any team, not necessarily the Grizzlies, mm-hmm. but with injuries happening in the NBA, sometimes that predicates a lot of G League call-ups, is people having injuries in a certain position and they just need bodies. And so you see that a lot of times, and you see a lot of times players getting chances because of injuries. So I think Adonis Thomas would be my bet. Also, I noticed that Jamal Franklin's on this roster.
Yeah.
Which was interesting. So not a whole lot of other standouts, though.
Yeah, it's the G League expansion draft is what it is. It's still
right. So we're not going to see a lot of
the most excited about Kobe Simmons.
Absolutely. Absolutely. He's the one we should be excited about. He's the one they put under a actual physical contract and hold his rights. And so, you're right. If we're looking at hustle players, we should be looking at Kobe Simmons and whoever occupies that next contract on the two-way contract, which I don't know. What's your guess right now? Who occupies that second contract?
Well, I guess since it's got to be Ivan Robb, I would guess, but...
I've been said on many places that he's not signing a two-way contract.
Because he hasn't signed one.
And then Chris Wallace even said draft night that him and Dylan Brooks, when either one, were going to be a two-way player. And so now we're sitting here in the middle of August, and the Grizzlies still have the only draft pick that has not been signed in the entire draft. And so I'm on your level. Yeah, it should be Ivan Rabb, but I don't know if it is going to be.
Yeah, I don't know.
If it's not Ivan Rabb, who do you think they should put on it? Because we have 24 players or something like that now still. We have roughly 24. I don't know. But, like I said, Ivan Rabb seems like the most likely candidate. But
He seems like the only candidate to be completely – I guess – He seems like the only candidate to me. We have too many players right now.
That is true. We do have too many players.
And we still have the only draft pick that has not been paid. And we still have Jermichael Green just sitting there doing nothing, which is we'll get to here in a minute.
Speaking of Jermichael Green, like you said, let's talk a little bit about Jermichael
Green.
Well,
hold on. I want to go back. Who do you think it would be if it's not Ivan Rahn?
I think you're right. I mean, I don't know if there is another player that would fit that mold. I mean, my next guess would be Dylan Brooks, but they already signed him.
Yeah.
So, like, if it's not Dylan Brooks, Kobe's already on a two-way contract. The only player I could say, if they're not going to work something out with Ivan Rabb, if they're going to either – and if you don't get something worked out with him, I don't know what they do. I don't even know how that works. If you just don't – I mean, I guess you could just not sign a player and then you give up his rights, I think is the way it happens.
No, I think you'd still have his rights because, never, like, the Ricky Rubio effect. I mean, he didn't come to Minnesota right away.
Right, but even if he doesn't go somewhere, like you don't do a draft and stash, he's just sitting here in the States doing nothing, you still have his rights and he just sits there. Effectively. I mean, that's what I think. I don't know. So we probably have to – I need to do some texting and ask some people much smarter than I am about that and what exactly would happen. Like you said, I think the best case scenario would be Ivan Rabb. But other than that, I really don't know who would qualify for that kind of position that was kind of a second-round pick or G League player. And if it's not one of them, I would bet on it being DJ Stephens just because – he's already been through training camp. He's already been here. And if you're going to put somebody on contract on your G League roster, my money would probably be on him. Speaking of Jermichael Green, let's move on. Let's not get too far off track with who is going to be in the next contract spot because we have no idea and we can sit here and speculate for days. But I think it will probably be a little bit before we know anything too. I don't know. It doesn't look like it's getting resolved anytime soon.
No, it
Speaking
doesn't.
Of not getting resolved anytime soon, Jermichael Green. So now that Nerlens Noel was one of the bigger free agents that got taken off the board because he signed his qualifying offer. We talked about that earlier in the first segment. Jermichael Green would be the only, I guess, the next biggest restricted free agent that is still out there. There's Nikola Mirotic and there's Alex Lynn still out there, I believe, as a restricted free agent, and then Jermichael Green.
And Plumlee.
And yes, Mason Plumlee or Miles Plumlee. I think it's Mason.
Mason Plumlee.
There's not a whole lot of options out there. I think he's probably still the best candidate, and I don't think there's any money left out there for people to pay him. So what does Jermichael Green do?
Jermichael Green needs he needs to get a deal done with the Grizzlies for somewhere between $7 to $10 million. That's what he needs to do. That's what he's worth. That's what we need to pay him. And if he doesn't want to get the deal done for $7 to $10 million a year, I don't think there's another team that can pay him that. So he's going to have to take his qualifying offer of $2 million. Right. So he either needs to take his $2 million or needs to get a deal done for somewhere between, I would say, $8 million a year or something like that.
So his qualifying offer is 2.82, so almost three, but still, like you said, that's still not a whole lot for Jermichael Green, and I think betting on himself, we agree that betting on Nerlens Noel betting on himself was a bad idea. I think Jermichael Green betting on himself is even worse idea. I think you said they're kind of a match made that there's not really much else the Grizzlies can do, and there's not really much else Jermichael Green can do, so you might as well just get it done. There's obviously something holding this up, and it's something big, and none of us know what exactly it might be, and I'm sure we'll find out after it all comes together and it finalizes. I'm sure
he wants $12 to $15 million a year.
I'm sure that's exactly what it is, and his agent thinks he should be at $15 million a year, and his agent's sitting there going, "Hey, man, you're worth $15 million a year. Don't let anybody
But hey, man, nobody has offered you $15 million a year."
Right, but you got one guy telling you, "Hey, don't let anybody tell you any different. You're worth this money. I promise you someone will offer it. We're going to get it." But his agent's like him, like a couple D-League guys and Jermichael. is no experience. So, like you said, no one's out there has offered you $15 million a year. No one is going to, because all the money in that area has definitely dried up, especially for power forwards and centers. So, yeah, I think it's a bit of – I think it's probably a bit of that. And we'll see if it's any more. It probably will definitely come out in the long run. And I just had on this sheet, so Nikola Mirotic is still available. Which would you rather have, just as a hypothetical, if the Grizzlies said, you know what, we're done here, we've waited, you know, wherever they've offered him and he's not taking anything, would you go out and try to get Mirotic to replace him?
How much money am I spending on Mirotic?
Let's just say they're roughly the same price. He's probably looking at $7 million a year.
No, I'll take Jermichael Green all day long.
I probably would too. Now
if Mirotic, it comes down to like at $3 million a year?
I'm all on it.
Taking Mirotic, and I'm getting I'm getting another asset, but I don't know where you're going to put that asset. So.
Well, that's true. We already have a lot of players as it is. I was looking out there at restricted free agents today when I was making our sheet to talk about today, and I thought it was kind of an interesting dynamic, because I had earlier in the year I had a couple of different trade posts and a couple of different articles about trades, and for some reason he kept coming up on a lot of my trades. I don't know why. I was so kind of like, it feels like when you get into those, so when you're looking at different trades and looking at players to make your team better, there's always kind of one player that kind of somehow tends to creep in there, and he was one of those players that just tended to keep creeping in a lot of my trades. And so I just wanted to,
he is horrible defensively. Absolutely horrible.
He is horrible. Speaking of horrible defense, it's another great segue. Speaking of horrible defense, let's talk about Troy Daniels. There's a really good article on grizzlybearblues.com by Grace Baker. She's a really good she was a really good writer, very, very smart. And so she had an article, and I just wanted to talk about it, is about Troy Daniels and kind of what or where he kind of goes from here. It's really good. If you haven't read it, go over to grizzlybearblues.com and take a read. It's a pretty good piece. So it's really about, you know, what does he become here? Does he actually do something? Do we see him ride the bench? Is he a trade asset? What do you think?
Last season he was used, let's use strangely. He would play 30 minutes one game, and then the next two games he would see 3 minutes apiece, and then three games later he would see 25 minutes. He was, you know, it was very strange how he was used. He played really well in the Mike Conley absence. He provided quite a bit of scoring during that Mike Conley absence. He's, as we talked about, horrible defensively. I just think that with the signing of Ben McLemore and with the signing of Wayne Selden and with the signing of Tyreek Evans and with the signing of Mario Chalmers, that this just, it keeps pushing him farther and farther and farther down the depth chart, if you will. And, you know, at some point, being able to shoot the three at 40% is, you know, is a great, amazing thing. But at some point, if you literally can't guard anyone and you don't know your rotations, you don't know your assignments, then I think he's going to keep getting pushed back. I think we're going to see quite a bit of Wayne Selden, as we talked about in, I think, the first podcast.
So I know this is, people who follow me on Twitter know that I am a huge Troy Daniels
supporter.
Yeah,
you are you're the conductor.
I love Troy Daniels. I love him for what he can do. I mean, for so long we bitched about not having a 3-point shooter, and we finally get one, and then we just go, you know what? Never mind. Like, we're just not going to just, and this is for me thinking last year from the roster that had last year, the run he didn't get was so bizarre to me. I mean, there was a lot of times it just was like, I understand the defensive liabilities. I get it. Don't at me on Twitter. I don't care. I get it. He is terrible defensively, but like, he is so good and provides so much spacing on offense for Mark to operate in and for Mike to operate in. If he's in the right lineup, and that lineup was Tony or Mike and Mark and another good defensive wing, like, you know, for all of his limitations, he could provide a sufficient bench scoring, and you could still hide him on defense. There's a lot of things you can do to be able to hide him. But going into this year, like you said, I think there's a lot of people out there that
– who's our wing that's going to hide him this season?
I think that you're probably your best bet is probably Wayne Seldon. I mean, he's probably your best defensive wing you have this year besides if you don't bring Tony back. I mean, Ben McLemore is just as terrible on defense. And that's the problem is we say Ben McLemore is going to be this guy that's going to replace on the incumbent starter. But, like, he's just as bad on offense and doesn't do nearly as much as what Troy Daniels does on offense. He's just as bad on defense and doesn't do as nearly what, you know, Troy Daniels does on offense. So, like, it's kind of, you know, you sub one in and got the other. But I'd rather have the guy that's shooting 40% from three and terrible defense than the guy that's terrible defense and just shooting mediocre at three. So that's kind of my point of view. Now you get into what Tyreek Evans is going to do. And Tyreek Evans kind of takes in that bench role that Troy was playing. You know, Troy wasn't starting, so Ben will probably be the starter. So, I mean, you get Tyreek in there, and that's, again, that's all about point production. So I don't really know what's going to happen. I'm kind of with you. I think he'll probably get pushed down the depth chart. I don't think that Fizdale likes him. And I think he gets really frustrated with him. And like you said, he struggles with defensive rotations. He gets really frustrated, visibly frustrated with him. And I think that's why he lost minutes sometimes. I don't know. I'm just guessing. But that's just what it looks from the outside looking in. And so I think that you get someone like Tyreek who can just go out and get buckets. He may like that person better.
Yeah, I don't think Fizz. I don't think Fizz is a fan of him. I think Fizz loves what he can do on the offensive end, of course. But you know, I as far as a complete game, I don't think Fizz likes him. As you can, I mean, pretty much tell from the way he played him last year.
Absolutely.
That you know, I think we're just gonna see more of the same this year. And just a little side note, Ben McLemore shot the three ball at 38.2% this past year, and Troy Daniels shot it at 38.9%. So they weren't
– Joe bringing the facts to the podcast.
They weren't too far off. I don't have the exact numbers of how many they shot, but
– I'm sure it's probably –
probably
lopsided,
similar, if I had to guess.
Because that's all Troy Daniels shoots. You know what I mean? Like, he only plays 18 minutes a game, and he's shooting 5 3-pointers a game. So – yeah, if that were the same, you know, if that were the case, like the numbers were roughly the same, you know, then sure, play Ben McLemore. He probably has better defensive IQ than Troy Daniels does. I know he's probably got a better defensive rating, but again, they signed Ben for a reason, and so that, like I said, I think he's the incumbent starter when he comes back. But like you said, Wayne Seldon has a shot, legitimate shot. Like I think we talked about on the first episode, legitimate shot to come in and kind of either be the starter if they want to keep Tyreek on the bench or come in and take Tyreek's spot as a role player and see what he can do in the first 2 weeks of the season as against legitimate NBA talent and see if he can play like he played in the summer league and dominate the ball and really get out there and shoot the ball well. He shot the three ball well and played defense really well. So he's got a real good shot to make an impact as well. So it would not surprise me if we look up in December and Troy Daniels is part of a package deal as a secondary asset in a trade. It would not surprise me in the least bit at all. Last thing, this just kind of came out before we started too, will be the last thing we can talk about will be the Mario Chalmers, Ben McLemore, Tyreek, all going to have a press conference. This will be today as you guys are listening to it. We're recording the night before. But the Grizzlies are doing a press conference to introduce those three players down at the FedEx Forum. And I'm not sure why it took them so long to do the press conference. I thought that was – always thought that was kind of odd. But they are doing it. So if you listen to this, they're doing it 2:30 on August 29th if you get a chance to get down there. Take a look at it and head down there and see those guys. We talked about this before the podcast. An interesting thought. They're including Mario Chalmers in this press conference. Do you think it matters?
No, I don't think it matters. I think that this is – Mario came in last year. He was one of the most hated players in Memphis lore. I still hate the guy sometimes. And he became, you know, a fan favorite very early on. And until he's, tore his Achilles tendon, was playing some amazing basketball for us and, became definitely a fan favorite. The same way with Tyreke Evans, he made the Sweet 16 in that 2008-09 year. They lost to Missouri. He scored like 35 points or something like that in that Sweet 16 game. So, I think that the more eyeballs they get on these press conferences, the better. And who's, you're going to be more likely to watch it when it's Tyreke Evans and Mario Chalmers than just having Ben McLemore.
Yeah, the only reason I even ask or even say anything is because, he's a very partially guaranteed deal with the Grizzlies. Basically, if he doesn't look right in training camp, that's a very easy out for the Grizzlies to cut him and kind of move on and not have any real financial hold on him. And so I brought that up because I thought it was very interesting to kind of think like, such a player that, a lot of those players, they kind of, it's more like a training camp invite than a signing, if that makes sense. Like it is a signing, but it's almost just like a training camp invite to see what he has. If he's, healed well, and if he's healthy enough to play NBA. So I thought that was very odd. I just thought that was, interesting to see that they would add him onto that list when he's more or less a glorified training camp invite. And, so that's the only reason I bring that up. And the second thing I want to ask is what do we think we're going to see out of Mario Chalmers this year? Does he do anything? Does he make the final roster? Do we think Mario Chalmers is on the roster opening night?
Right now, if Mario Chalmers is on the roster opening night, that means that we have four point guards under contract. That means we have Andrew Harrison, Wade Baldwin, Mike Conley, and Mario Chalmers. And Tyreke Evans, for that matter, as well.
Tyreke Evans is not a point guard. Let's get that first and foremost. Tyreke Evans is not a point guard. He's never played point guard in the league. He's never enlisted as a point guard. He's a shooting guard. Let's not list him as a point guard.
Tyreke Evans would have been a better backup point guard for the last 7 years than the Grizzlies have had in the past seven
years.
That's not
what I'm saying. I'm saying is that Tyreke Evans has never been a point guard. Yes, he can handle the ball, but he is not a point guard. He's never been listed as a point guard in the NBA. Has never played that position. Never.
I just added him as a side note because he's probably a better ball handler than the backup point. He is better than Keon Dooling, okay?
That is
twice I have mentioned Keon Dooling in one podcast. For the day.
You've mentioned Keon Dooling enough for the entire season.
I'll bring him back up. Don't worry. He comes back up
in your live conversations,
literally live conversations all the time.
Good Lord, I don't want to hear those live conversations.
People look at me like, "Who is Keon Dooling?"
If you're talking about Keon doing that much, we have problems, Joe. I hope
that he is on the roster because that means that he is healthy and that means that he is playing good basketball and that means we're going to be a better basketball team than we are with Andrew Harrison or with Wade Baldwin running the backup point guard. So, by all means, I totally hope that he is on the roster, and I hope that he's playing ball for us. But do I think so? I'd give it probably a 60-40 right now.
Yeah, I'm kind of with you. I don't think that personally. I just don't think he's going to be on the roster because that injury is such a hard injury to come back from. Like an Achilles
it's my
injury
worst
is
nightmare.
Very difficult injury to come back from, and so it doesn't instill confidence in me that that's the injury that he's coming back from, and so I'm kind of on the mind if he was good, there'd probably be another team that signed him. I don't know, but that's just kind of an outlier I think about, if he was really good enough to be a legitimate backup point guard still or a starting point guard, there would be another team before us that had signed him already and he gave him a better deal. I don't know, and that's probably what they don't know either. They don't know either if he's going to be what he's going to be. And so I'm kind of with you. If he's on the roster opening night, that means that he's probably better than he's definitely probably better than Harrison and Wade Baldwin. And you'll probably see one of those guys get cut or traded. I don't know if that necessarily makes some immediate availability. You have to trade them now, but I think it gives you an it gives you something to say, hey, you know what? Well, like, we're in December or January, and Mario's playing really good, and we have these two guys, and, you know, one of them's definitely expendable now. Like, we have Mario's playing awesome. Let's see what we can get, especially maybe Wade Ballin, a young guy that people might want to pick up and the Grizzlies might want to give up on. But
we know that David Fizdale loves him some Andrew Harrison. If there is one thing we know, if there's one thing we learned last season, it is that David Fizdale loves Andrew Harrison.
I think it's a love by force. Like, it's a forced relationship. Like, I don't think David Fizdale has
arranged marriage.
It was definitely more of an arranged marriage for Andrew Harrison and David Fizdale last year than anything else, because what is he going to do? Wade Baldwin was awful. Like, he was worse than Andrew Harrison, and good Lord, that's bad. I mean, Andrew Harrison was the first part of the year, Andrew Harrison was bad.
He was real bad.
He got better. Don't get me wrong. He got better as the year went along, but not to the point where we were like, yep, like, that's the future. Like, that's the guy that you're going to hang your hat on, even for a backup point guard role, even if he never becomes the guy, the starter. Like, he never became, like, to that point where you saw, you know what, he's definitely the point guard or the backup point guard of the future. So,
right. I mean, he got bad enough to where, you know, we brought in Tony Douglas, had to cut a player who, you know, a lot of the Grizzlies were really high on. I'm still really high on.
Who has a guaranteed contract now.
And who I'm really upset that we just literally just took Tony Douglas and then just cut him. So we wasted that whole process. So thank you, Chris Wallace. I really appreciate it. If you're ever listening to a podcast, I'd like to go ahead and thank you for cutting Troy Williams. I really appreciate it.
If Chris Wallace is listening to this podcast, I can guarantee you he has nothing better to do ever with his life than to listen to us. He doesn't need our advice. But you never know.
No, whoa.
I mean, yes, he does need our advice. They have screwed up every draft pick the last 10 years. So, yeah, they could
use some
advice.
And then when they don't draft, they get a good free agent signing. They're like, meh, we'll keep Tony Douglas for a couple weeks. And then
that is the epitome of terrible. But anyway, that's most of what I got today. We had a lot going on today. Talked a lot of Grizzly stuff, more Grizzly stuff than I actually thought we were going to talk about. What we touched on quite a few things, Mario Chalmers and Tony Douglas. Again, the article we referenced is by Grace Baker, GrizzlyBearBlues.com. Go ahead and head over there and take a read if you haven't already. Donate to the Hurricane Harvey Relief Fund. There are plenty of places to donate. What was the one that we mentioned? There are plenty of places to donate.
It was TexasMonthly.com.
TexasMonthly.com. So if you haven't already, go donate there. Do what you can to help out. If you haven't already, follow me on Twitter at King_producer.
At JRWalter4.
You can follow us and talk to us there. If you want to follow us on the podcast, it's at 3ndpod. But I'll do most of our talking on our personal Twitter handles. The podcast Twitter is just kind of for updates and stuff like that. So if you haven't already subscribed, go ahead and subscribe, download, listen, rate, review. We appreciate everybody. We'll see you next week.
Thank you so much. We'll see you next week.